Turn, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes in your Bible, chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and the first six verses. Page 703 in your Scofield Bible, the first six verses of this 10th chapter, and we'll read the verses responsively. And may we all please stand in the text verses, this first verse, which I'm reading. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. And let's pray. Father, bless the service this evening. We praise thee for the word, and we thank you that we have such ready access to it. We thank you that not only do we carry copies of it, and we have it at our disposal from day to day, but we're privileged week by week to hear it preached in this place. We pray that thou wouldst bless and anoint our preacher, and we pray that thy Holy Spirit would.
I'm going to read for you without you turning to it. This scripture, I'm speaking tonight on dead flies in the drugstore. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, or better still, drugstore, to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. This verse goes back to this is the 10th chapter, first verse of Ecclesiastes. The last verse of chapter 9 should be connected to this verse where it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And then it goes from there to say, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. I want to speak tonight on that subject, dead flies in the drugstore. By the way, when it says speaks about the dead fly in the apothecary or the drugstore, a little better translation, I think, would be a deadly fly. I do not think this is talking about a fly that is dead. A deadly fly. One translation says a poisonous fly. But most of the commentators on this verse say it means a deadly fly, not a fly that is already dead. Doesn't matter which one, a dead fly or a deadly fly, either would be of serious consequence in the ointment or the medicine or the prescription coming from a drugstore. Notice it doesn't say a dead rat, doesn't say a dead mouse, it says a dead fly. Doesn't say a reptile in the drugstore. No, it says a dead fly. A dead fly in the drugstore causes much trouble. And you can imagine. And so tonight, hear me as I talk to you, what I think is a very important subject. Old subject, new truth, a new scripture, approach to an old subject about those little sins in our lives. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, this hour to our edification and our dedication and separation to the cause and work of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, because of the subject, dead flies in the drugstore, I shall avoid David's great sin concerning Bathsheba and Uriah. We shall simply glance at the grave of Uriah. We shall pause and look at the tombstone of David's baby who died because of David's sin with Bathsheba, and that of Amnon, David's son, who was killed by another son, Absalom. We shall simply pause for a few moments and remember these tragic events in the life of the man after God's own heart. We'll pause for a while outside the city of Jerusalem, down in the valley of Kidron, and look there at that big monument that is still there to this day, which marks the burying place of Absalom, David's son, who was guilty of insurrection against his father, and he was killed in battle against his father's own forces. We shall simply stop for a moment to hear the cry of David as he says, O Absalom, my son, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. But we shall not dwell on David's sin of Bathsheba, nor shall we linger to speak a few moments on the sin that David committed of murdering her husband Uriah. Tonight, I shall not stop in Zoar to discuss the great sin of Lot. I will not make lengthy mention of his choosing the well-watered plains toward Sodom, nor will I say anything tonight of consequence about the sodomy in the city of Sodom. I will not stop in Zoar except to pass by the pillar of salt on the way, realizing that Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt because of Lot's awful sin. And then I'll stop just for a moment to wave at little Moab and little Ammon, the two sons of Lot to whom his daughters gave birth because of the awful sin of incest. I will not dwell tonight on Lot's incest. I will not dwell tonight on David's fornication. I will not dwell tonight on David's sons and the tragic deaths that they had. I will not dwell tonight on Lot's going to Sodom. I will not do that. We shall not focus our lens on King Saul as he attempts to murder young David. That's not the sin I'm after tonight. I'm not after the javelin hurling incidents in the life of King Saul when he said, I'll kill David, for he has been chosen to sit on the throne. We will not linger there nor point our lens toward that story. We will bypass the awful sin of Achan. We will simply make mention and pass on of the awful sin when he stole the wedge of gold and the coat that he should not have stolen, for he took it from the city of Jericho, which God had accursed and of which God had said, shall yield no spoil to the Israelites. But we'll not linger there. We'll not even linger except to make observation about the awful execution of Achan and his family. When Achan was stoned to death, and his wife and children all stoned to death because of their wicked sin. Nor will we linger to inspect tonight the leprous Uzziah, the king who committed sacrilege by entering the priesthood. And God cursed him with the disease of leprosy. We will not linger to inspect drunken Noah lying nude in the presence of his sons and perhaps committing the sin of the homosexuality with his son Ham. We will not linger there at that awful sin. We will not say much tonight about adulterous Abraham's affair with Hagar that fathered a race of wild men known as the Arabs to this day. We shall not dwell there. For I do not want to point out tonight or linger at David's sin with Bathsheba or David's sin about Uriah or Lot's sin with his daughters or Abraham's sin with Hagar and the child who was born because of that sin. This will not determine or not attract much of our attention. Or I'll not linger tonight on idolatrous Solomon with his 700 wives and their pagan gods. I will not speak much tonight. That's interesting. I've been looking for a fly all week long. All week long, I've been looking for a fly. I wanted to use it tonight and put it in this cup of water, a glass of water, and show you what, and ask Brother John a glass of water. Everywhere I go, I come across flies. There was not one single fly in my motel room this week. I've not had one fly in my office. I've not found one fly at home. And now there's one bugging me to death up here on the platform. God sent his illustration for me tonight. One little fly can cause you more trouble. But I'll not mention tonight a great deal about Solomon and the awful sin of 700 wives and 300 concubines. We will not pause there. I would, however, call to your attention tonight that small beginning sin, that little dead fly in the drugstore. I'm not shooting tonight at the smallpox epidemic. I'm not shooting tonight at the malaria epidemic. I'm not shooting tonight at the pneumonia epidemic. I am shooting at that little fly that carries the germ that someday becomes an epidemic. You stop the fly, you stop the germ, you stop the epidemic. I'm after that little dead fly in the drugstore. That little rascal that will cause the trouble and will cause the epidemic.
I'm not after the big sin tonight. I'm after the little sin that causes the big sin. I would like tonight to call to your attention, not David's fornication and David's murder. I would like to call to your attention tonight David's laziness and David's lust. Had David been in the battle that day, there would have been no incident with Bathsheba. Had David not known laziness and lust, there would have been no murder of Uriah. Had David not had that little fly in the apothecary, or the fly in the drugstore of laziness and lust, there would have been no illegitimate child. There'd be no problem in the Middle East tonight. There'd be no Ishmaelites fighting against the descendants of Isaac tonight. There'd be no battle with Iraq and Israel tonight. None of that. If that little one fly of laziness, if David had gone to work when he should have gone to work, you do not know what that little dead fly of laziness causes. You don't know the heartbreak and heartache and broken lives and broken homes and broken dreams and broken health and broken homes and marriages. You don't know what that one little fly of laziness causes. That one little fly of lust, that one look at the magazine, that one look at the wrong television program, that one record that plays sensuous music with sensuous words called rock music, that one look at the gal that's the immodest address, that one look at that nude picture out at the store I mentioned a while ago. I'm saying that one little dead fly. You stop the dead fly, you stop all the diseases that dead fly will carry. So I think it might be better for us to go back and kill the fly, don't you think? Rather than trying to spend too much of our time on the consequences. And so I've called your attention. In fact, if there probably would have been no rape of Tamar, and no murder of Amnon, and no rebellion of Absalom, and no death of Absalom, and no ruin of David's family, had there not been that little fly in the drugstore that started David on his road to ruin. That fly of laziness. Get up when the alarm goes off, and get up and go to work, and quit being a lazy rascal, and be on time to work, and put a good 8 hours work in. And be diligent. Don't have idle time. Don't hang around these little drive-in hamburger places. You want to buy a hamburger? Go buy one, eat it, go home. Don't hang around. You keep busy. By the way, that goes the same thing. You ladies hang around too much each other gossiping too. You just hang around? That's one reason why you call somebody on the phone. Call, find out what the business is. When the business is all cared for, hang the stupid thing up and do something. Don't sit there on the phone and talk and talk and talk and talk. Little flies will start swarming. Before you know it, the awful sin of gossip and spreading things you shouldn't spread will be wrecking and ruining the lives and homes and hearts and futures and dreams of people who oftentimes are innocent people. And if they're guilty, you have not been appointed as God's delivery boy and God's messenger to spread all the garbage you can find to spread. You haven't got something to do, find something to do. You haven't got to get a job. Get your job to do. Get out there and mow the yard. If it's mowed, then fertilize it so you can mow it quicker and do it again. And stay busy. Then don't you think it'd be wise? If you're going to try to stop David's fornication and the murder of Uriah, then don't you think if you're going to stop that little dead fly and kill that little fly, maybe we ought to turn off the soap operas too. For that causes the dead fly of lust in the drugstore. And turn off as the world turns, and turn off the General Hospital, and turn off Secret Storm, and turn off, I don't know all of them that are on nowadays, but turn them off! Turn them off! Turn them off! They're nothing but dead flies in the drugstore that'll lead you someday to do something you ought not to do, or cause you to influence somebody else to do something they ought not to do. You want to stop the adultery in America? You want to stop the sensuality in America? You want to clean up our young folks in America? Clean up Hollywood. Clean up the television. Clean up the magazines. And if you're going to stop that dead fly, maybe you ladies ought to cover your bodies in the summertime. I wish you'd wear your shorts in the wintertime and freeze your fool legs off is what I wish you'd do. I mean, if you want to stop all the adultery and fornication and lewdness, then cover your body. God didn't make your body to be advertisement for a harlot. God didn't make that. God didn't make your thighs to be shown to the men in town. God didn't make your breast to be poured into some sweater, make you look like some harlot. God didn't do that. Why don't you decide that you're not going to cause those flies to swarm around the hearts and minds of men so they'll have evil thoughts? I know what you're saying. Oh, some of you little gay crowd. You're saying, well, Dr. Hyatt, I don't have evil thoughts when I look at a woman's legs. you're either one of two things. You're either the biggest liar in this town, or you're the sickest person in this church. One or the other now. You don't sit there, you little pious look on your face, and tell me you look at ladies' thighs and think about an all-night prayer meeting. Don't you tell me that. Don't you do it. Don't you come with a little holy, holy, holy garbage. You know you're lying through your teeth. There's not one red-blooded man in this church. I don't care if you're 8, 18, or 188. You can still see and your heart's beating and you got a pulse rate. You can't sit around looking at half-naked women without having evil thoughts in your mind. You can't do it. I'm saying get the dead fly out. If you don't want the disease, get out the dead fly. Get out. You say, preacher, when are you going to quit preaching like that? Or when I die? When you pass by my grave and look at my body, I'll quit preaching. But I've got my folks instructed to play my tape all over the country after I'm dead. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, your convictions and mine are different on that. Now, hold it, Buster. You don't have a conviction you ought to wear shorts. You know better. Nobody ever said, I've got a conviction I'd die for. You're supposed to wear shorts. Nobody ever said that, dummy. Not a conviction. It's a lack of a conviction. A conviction is about something that's wrong, not something against something that's wrong, not against something that's okay. Cover your body. One of the most embarrassing things I ever see. Drive down the street. See one of our ladies walking down, females walking down the street in a pair of shorts. Now, if you weigh 425 pounds and are 5'2", you may do it. For God's sake, either gain the weight or put a dress on, one or the other. Substitute a nice dress for your tight pants. Turn off the love boat. Burn your Playboy magazine. Break your rock records. Clean up your courtship. I'm saying that if you don't want a David, then don't have the dead flies in the drugstore. I would tonight like to call to your attention, though I'm not going to call to your attention Lot's wicked adulterous sin or his incestuous sin. I'm not going to dwell on that. I would like to dwell for a while, for a few minutes, if you don't mind, or if you do mind. I'd like to dwell on Lot's little dead fly in his drugstore, the sin of greed. Had Lot been gracious and unselfish when Abraham divided up his land with Lot, had Lot said to Abraham, and Abraham said, let there be no strife between thee and me, between my herdman and thy herdman, let there be no strife. You just choose the lands you want. And Lot looked down and saw the well-watered plains toward Sodom, and his old dollar marks got in his eyes, and I want to tell you tonight, don't you ever let dollar marks get in your eyes. I could be a wealthy man tonight if I chose to be. I could have a lot of money, but I won't keep it. I will not keep it. I won't stack it up. You say, why? Because I'm afraid of it, and you better be afraid of it too. Yes, sir. You better be afraid of it. Oh, but you say for the house, I only have a few thousand. A few thousand can be the object of covetousness and object of being mercenary as much as a few million can. In fact, some of the greatest misers I know and mercenary people I know are people that have just a few thousand dollars. Watch it. Had Lot not been guilty of having the dead fly of greed in his drugstore, there would have been no Sodom, perhaps. No pillar of salt. No incest with his daughters. No illegitimate children. No Moabites. No Ammonites. I would point you to the fly that Saul in Saul's drugstore, the fly of jealousy. No, I'm not going to talk to you tonight about the javelins that Saul hurled toward David in attempted murder. I'm not going to talk about that. For there would not have been a javelin hurled nor an attempt at David's life if Saul had not entertained the dead fly in his drugstore, the dead fly of jealousy. I'm not after tonight this matter of attempted murder. I'm after the jealousy. I'm after that little dead fly of jealousy, that little green-eyed monster that'll destroy your life as much as anything in this world will destroy. I would point to you tonight, though I will not mention a great deal about Abraham's sin with Hagar, I would point tonight to Abraham's fly in the drugstore when he had not enough faith to stay in the promised land and fled down to Egypt. Abraham shouldn't have been in Egypt in the first place. If Abraham had faith to believe that God would take care of him in Canaan, he would never have fled to Egypt. He hadn't have fled to Egypt. He wouldn't have lied about Sarah being his wife. He hadn't have lied about Sarah being his wife. He wouldn't have gotten Hagar. He hadn't have gotten Hagar. She wouldn't have been back in Canaan. He hadn't had Hagar back in Canaan. Abraham couldn't have had a relation with her. And if he hadn't had relations with her, Israel wouldn't have been born. And if Israel hadn't been born, you wouldn't have the Middle East class tonight. All because of one dead fly in one man's drugstore. A whole world tonight is focusing her eyes. I mean, Russia pulls her saber to fight. America pulls her saber to fight. And the eyes of the entire world are pointed on little Palestine tonight. Why is there this whole world shaking like a bottle tonight in the hands of a doctor? Why? I'll tell you why. Because back yonder one day, one man, thousands of years ago, one man got a dead fly in his drugstore. That dead fly of a lack of faith. If Abraham had said to Sarah, okay, we know there's a famine here in Canaan. We know that. But God can take care of us. If Abraham would have said that to Sarah and said to Sarah, we're not going to Egypt. God can take care of us. We have dozens of folks in this room tonight about to flee this area with no thought of the will of God, no thought of whether God wants you to do it. Just one thought, the same thought that Abraham and Sarah had, their jobs down in Egypt. And because Abraham did not believe God could take care of him, I want to tell you, my precious friend, that the Bible still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Bible still says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The Bible still says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if Abraham had believed that, all of the problems of the Middle East and all of the problems of this old world would have been prevented. Why, Middle East? Why the Arabs and the trouble with Israel and Saudi Arabia? Why the trouble between Israel and Iraq? Why the Iranian problem tonight with Ayatollah Khomeini? And why all those problems? Why? I'll tell you why the hostages were over there for all those months. Why? I'll tell you why. Because one man said, God cannot take care of us. One little dead fly in Abraham's drugstore has exploded to cause this world to be sitting on a hot seat now for these many years and will until Jesus Christ comes again. I will not discuss with you tonight the awful sin when Uzziah, the king, decided he would enter inside the holy place of God and take the censer in his hand. And young folks, are you listening to me? Take the censer in his hand. And, by the way, that one little dead fly not listening in church one of these days is going to call. Many of you folks have wrecked lives. Wrecked lives. That one little dead fly of sitting out in the hallway when you ought to be inside the church building one of these days is going to cause dozens of you have wrecked lives. That one little dead fly of writing notes to your sweethearts and talking and misbehaving. Listen, for your future, for your purity, for your decency, for your future happiness, for your home, your marriage, your coming children, you need hear what's preaching behind this pulpit. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That one little dead fly of not listening to the service. That one little dead fly of going to sleep while the preacher's preaching. That one little dead fly. One of these days will cause some disease of sin that will wreck and ruin many of your lives. I will not discuss tonight Uzziah going inside the house of God and taking upon himself a duty that was not his, so wicked and so sacrilegious that it caused God to strike him with leprosy. I will discuss that dead fly in the drugstore of pride. When Uzziah lifted up his heart in pride above the men of God, then he said, I'll take over the priesthood. That little sin of me, I, us, ours, mine, that little sin of I'm pretty, that little sin of I'm handsome, that little sin of I'm smart, that little sin of I'm brilliant, that little sin of I'm talented, that little sin of I can preach, that little sin of I can sing, that little sin of I can teach, that little sin of I have a PhD, that little sin of I have a master's degree, that little sin of I've been to college, that little sin when one of God's sinners lifts up his little head like a proud peacock and says, I, that little fly, dead fly in the drugstore will someday cause you like Uzziah to have your life wrecked and ruined. I'm not after tonight the sin of Moses when he numbered the people twice. God let him lose his ticket to the Holy Land. But I am after that little dead fly in the drugstore of that hot temper where Moses lost his temper. Meekest man in all the world lost his temper. Smote the rock twice. I'm not after the sin tonight of murder committed by Cain against his brother Abel. I am against the sin of hatred. That little dead fly in the drugstore. What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Lust? Huh? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Immodest dress? Huh? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? A hot temper? Huh? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Is it the pride? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Is it financial greed? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Is it some soap operas? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Is it a cigarette? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Is it beer in the ass box? What is the dead fly in the drugstore tonight? Is it watching wrong movies? What is the dead fly in your drugstore tonight? Is it watching bad television shows? Is it soap operas? Is it Dallas? Is it All in the Family? Is it MASH? Is it soap? Is it Texas? What is it? Get it out! Get it out! Get it out! You leave that fly in your drugstore, and one of these days you'd have a deadness sin on your hands. You mark it down. You kill that fly. You kill that fly. I shall not discuss tonight that awful sin of Absalom, that sin of disloyalty, when Absalom spread little kind innuendos against his father. I'll tell you who the most disloyal person is. It's that little person that says, I love him, but... And then butts him to death. Or would you pray with me about so-and-so who did this? I know he's a good man, but... I suggest you say, but punch him in the foot. Yeah. Sets back here, man over here, man in the service tonight. Back here, almost four or five rows in the back next to this aisle. Over here in the parking lot one night. A fella said something about me. This guy's a little bit warm-blooded anyway and has strong convictions and strong loyalties, and so he just decked the fella. And I cried and cried and cried and cried about that. Now, I'm not saying you ought to deck everybody who says a bad word about me. But I am saying this. I'm saying if you don't watch it, you'll let a little fly. No, not fornication, but lust. No, not murder, but hatred. Insurrection, but a little bit of an eyebrow lifted towards somebody, towards some leader somewhere, and maybe your leader. A little deal of a little. Not a criticism. I love him. Yo, don't listen. Anytime anybody says, don't misunderstand me, I love him, run. Run. That's more deadly than a plain old out. Listen, if you say something bad about somebody, I don't like him, I hate him, this is what he did, his friends won't listen to you. But if you say, I'll tell you I love him, but there is a, well, pray about this thing. He means well. Look out, look out, look out, look out. Watch out for the dead fly in the drugstore. Here's where it all starts. No building is ever constructed without somebody drawing a plan. And no set of plans are ever drawn without somebody seeing that building in his eye. Hey, did you know I saw this baptistry here before this the ground was ever broken for this auditorium? Did you know I saw this white wood here before the ground was ever broken in this auditorium? Did you know I saw these gold walls before, yellow gold walls, before the ground was ever broken? Did you know I saw the color of this carpet and the color of these pews? Did you know you didn't see this building until it was built? I saw it before the ground was ever broken. And before there is ever a wicked, vile sin committed, there always is in somebody's mind a little fly buzzing around that causes the germ that someday becomes that awful sin. No murder is ever committed without the fly of hatred first. No object is ever stolen without the fly of covetousness first. No revolution is ever conducted without the fly of disloyalty first. No young man has ever rustled unholy skirts without the fly of lust first. No family has ever left the will of God without the fly of little faith first. Now, what is that fly in your drugstore tonight? What is that little sin? What is that little bitty fly buzzing around into a drugstore tonight. There's a man in this room tonight who one day went to Tennessee Temple College. He was an evangelist. He preached revivals across the Southland. Good revivals. One time a man owed him some money. That man, that evangelist, walked inside a tavern to ask this guy for his money. While he was there, took one little drink. Somebody persuaded him to take one little drink. And what happened? He soon became an alcoholic. That man tonight has been married 8 times. He's sitting in this room tonight. He had his life wasted till he was in his 60s. And his ministry wrecked and ruined. And stumbled into our rescue mission one night, an alcoholic. And God saved him. Now he is a fine member of this church and doing a fine job for God in this church. But now what started that, those eight, having 8 wives? And what started the adultery? And what started the alcoholism? What started one little fly? He never walked inside that tavern. And that's why you should never walk inside a tavern unless you got a Bible that's 2 feet square with you and you're there to witness and pass out gospel tracts. I tell the story around the country about when I was taking Greek, my Greek class. I was at my first year of Greek as a junior in college. Final examination time, and a fellow said to me, Hey, Jack, move your arm. Move your arm, Jack. My arm was covering the paper. He said, I didn't have time to study for my final examination. Too busy serving God. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, is not the way God wants you to stay busy. Old Dr. Bob used to say, duty is never conflict. I'm too busy serving God. I couldn't study my Greek. And so he said, move your elbow, Jack. Be a friend. I'll fail the course if you don't move your elbow. What he did not know is that if he copied what was under my elbow, he'd still been in trouble in Greek. But, I made A's and B's in Greek, and that was good for me. But I'm saying, I can hear him now. Hey, Jack, move your arm, Jack. Move your arm, Jack. Be a friend. I can hear him our senior year in college, the last semester in college, taking our last final examination for second year Greek. I can hear him now. Hey, Jack, move your arm, Jack. Hey, Jack, come on, be a friend, Jack. I'll fail the test. I've been too busy serving God. Come on, move your arm. One little fly buzzing around, a fly of laziness, a fly of irresponsibility, a fly of not studying. Oh, not a big thing. Who preaches against the sin of not studying? Not a bitty old fly. Dead fly. Our deadly fly in the drugstore. Oh, by the way, 7 years later, he came by Garland, Texas, where I was pastoring one day, Sunday afternoon. I said, how about preaching for me tonight, Ray? I thought it would be nice and ask him to preach. He was sitting right here. I was sitting right there. During the special number, right before the sermon, he leaned over to me and said, Hey, Jack, pray that God will give me a sermon. You got any old sermon outlines I can borrow? I mean, that's while the special number was being sung. His sermon was coming up next. His sermon. He said, would you pray I'll have a sermon? You got an old sermon outline? And I said, buddy, you won't need one. You just sit still. You ain't preaching here tonight. And I preached. I said, if I got you, one of my sermon outlines going to be used, I will deliver it. Oh, I forgot to tell you, that same guy that cheated in Greek and cheated when he wouldn't study for his sermon, tonight he's serving in the state penitentiary a long sentence. Why? Dead fly back in Greek class. Dead fly of laziness. A dead fly of indifference. I'm not concerned tonight about the people in this church who are living in deep sin. Though I want you to get right with God and get back, but I am vitally concerned about those of you who will one of these days, a year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, be living in sin because you're entertaining deadly flies in your drugstore tonight. I want you to notice something also. Notice where the fly was. In the drugstore. Now, wait a minute. The drugstore is the place where the cure is dispensed. That's the worst place to have a fly. Now, wait a minute. If the fly is in the hospital room where the medicine is taken, it's not near as dangerous. If the fly is in the sick room where the medicine is poured into a spoon and swallowed, that's bad, but it's not near as dangerous. But you put that fly in the drugstore and let that fly get in the prescription. or deposit its germ in the prescription. I'm saying it's bad to have a fly anywhere. The worst place to have a fly is where the medicine with the cure. When the disease or the germ is mixed in with the cure, then the cure is diluted, or shall I even not say paralyzed, or neutralized in the drugstore. It's bad to have a dead fly in the pew. It is infinitely worse to have a dead fly in the pulpit. It is bad to have a dead fly in the Christian schoolroom. It is worse to have a dead fly in the teacher's desk. It is bad to have a dead fly in the college dormitory. It is infinitely worse to have a dead fly in the college faculty or administration. What am I saying? I'm saying it's worse, Dr. Evans, for you to lose your temper and you to spread gossip than it is for that lady right there. It's worse. It's 10 times worse because the dead fly is in the drugstore. It's worse for your administration to be critical. It's worse for your administration to be sinful. It's worse for your administration to have a bad spirit. It's worse for your administration to lose their temper. It's worse for your administration and your faculty to have jealousy and envy and lust and these little dead flies. Let me read it for you. Here's what it says. It says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, so doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. This whole verse is talking about people in places of spiritual responsibility who are supposed to have leadership, about dead flies being in your drugstore. I'm talking about it is bad to have a dead fly in the classroom in Sunday school. It is worse to have a dead fly in the teacher's heart. It is bad to have a dead fly in your classroom at the grade school. It is worse to have a dead fly in the faculty administration. It is bad to have a dead fly in the Spanish department. It is worse to have a dead fly in your heart. It is bad to have a dead fly in the bus ministry, the bus kids. It is worse to have dead flies in the bus captains. It is bad to have a dead fly in the rescue mission men. It is worse to have a dead fly in the superintendent. It is bad to have a dead fly in the choir. It is worse to have a dead fly in the heart of the director. I'm saying if God has given you any degree of responsibility at all, in God's name, you cast that dead fly of covetousness out of your heart. You cast that dead fly of temper out of your heart. You cast that dead fly of greed out of your heart. If tonight you sit before a Sunday school class or stand before a schoolroom at the college or high school, or junior high or grade school, or if you're on the staff of First Baptist Church of Hammond, or if you're a deacon in this church, I'm saying that it is worse for you. The dead fly was in the drugstore. That's the place where the cure is supposed to be. It is bad. It is bad for followers to be lazy. It is twice, many times worse for leaders to be lazy. It is bad for followers to be mercenary. It is many times worse for leaders to be mercenary. It is bad for followers to have jealousy. It is many times worse for leaders to have jealousy. It is bad for followers to have pride. It is many times worse for leaders to have pride. It is bad for followers to have a hot temper. It is many times worse for leaders to have a hot temper. It is bad for followers to be disloyal. It is many times worse for leaders to be disloyal. It is bad for followers to have to have covetousness. It is many times worse for leaders to have covetousness. It is bad for followers to have hatred. It's many times worse for leaders to have hatred. You folks that work in the drugstore. You folks that work in the drugstore. Coach of the athletic teams. Get those dead flies out. You folks that work with the sailors. Get those dead flies out. You folks that lead as deacons of this church. Get those dead flies out. They won't stay dead flies, ladies and gentlemen. Their germs will get in the ointment itself and in the prescription itself. And before you know it, you won't recognize yourself. I was talking to a man one day in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's out of the ministry completely. Had built a great church down in Texas. Had preached for Dr. R.G. Lee at the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. Had preached for Dr. Beecham Vick when he had the largest church in the world in Detroit, Michigan. Had preached many times for both places. Tremendous young man. Left the ministry. And I saw him, he was selling church furniture out of the ministry. Left his church, living in sin. I said, where did it all start? He looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, when I left the prayer closet, little dead fly of not praying. Hear me now. Hear me? Hear me? Hear me? David didn't plan that day when he took the day off when he should have been out with the kings fighting. David didn't plan to have his boys die premature death. To kill Uriah. He didn't plan the Bathsheba incident. Lot didn't plan to set offer his daughters to homosexuals. He didn't plan to commit incest when he decided to choose the well-watered plains toward Sodom. Saul didn't intend to take a javelin and hurl it toward David. Jealousy gripped his heart. No, sir. Abraham didn't intend to cause trouble in the Middle East for 4,000 years. He decided to go down Egypt because they had work down there. No, sir. Now, you hear me? Hear me? Hear me? Hear me? Hear me? There are people in this room tonight who are hearing my voice. If you don't get the dead flies out of your life tonight, or the deadly flies out of your life tonight, or that one deadly fly out of your life tonight, I'll guarantee you, you'll be an illustration or preach your sermon one of these days, and you'll be out yonder doing things you never dreamed you'd do because you did not get the dead fly out of the drugstore. I want to say this word too. Hear me carefully. The cure is diluted if the fly gets in the drugstore. Let's suppose the fly gets near the counter. Not deadly. Dangerous, but not like it would if the fly is where you're mixing the prescription. Back in the drugstore, the apothecary part, not where you sell hair rinse and toothpaste, not there. Back in where the druggist is. The felt deadly fly falls down inside that bottle. It becomes the germ of that dead fly in a little bottle, and soon that's poured into a spoon, and that spoon pours it into your mouth, and it becomes a part of your body and gives you a deadly disease. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that after a while, when dead flies come in, they'll change the cure. I know a man in North Carolina who is one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life. I won't call his name. But I've never heard a more powerful preacher. Used to preach at sword conferences all across this country. And one day, he got a little dead fly in his life. That little dead fly diluted the medicine, and he started preaching this heresy of hyper-Calvinism. God has chosen some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of in my life. God doesn't want anybody to burn in hell. And if you decide you burn in hell, it'll be because you choose to burn in hell, not because a ruthless God ordains that you burn in hell. No, sir. That fellow then, what happened? The fly got in the drugstore. It got in his message. He quit giving invitations. He quit sending his folks out soul winning. Why? A dead fly got in it, and it got in the message. I was in a motel room in Canada, and turned on the television set to watch the news. They said, we have today a man to interview, a very famous man. His name is Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton was interviewed. He was, at that time, writing script in Hollywood. And they said, Mr. Templeton, what do you believe about God? You used to be an evangelist. And he said, I'm an atheist. I do not believe in God. Chuck Templeton. When I first began preaching, Chuck Templeton was an evangelist up in Canada. He was a red-hot evangelist. He decided he'd preach revivals in liberal churches. He decided he would become the evangelist representing the National Council of Churches. And that fly got in the drugstore. And down and down and down and down and down that man went. He was a fervent, spirit-filled evangelist. And I heard him say, with my own ears, on a television newscast, he no longer believes in God. What happened? He got a dead fly in this drugstore. The dead fly got in the cure. And the cure is the gospel. You get a dead fly in the drugstore, you'll change the way you live first, and then you'll change your message to fit your life. Dr. Meyer and Cedarholm and I were talking one day. And Dr. Cedarholm started on me. We were driving out in the mountains of California where I was preaching for him. He looked back at me and he said, "Dr. Hiles, did you ever notice this?" And I said, "What is it, Dr. Cedarholm?" He said, "Did you ever notice not many great preachers ever stay great to the end?" Let me ask you to think about something for a minute. Name the number of preachers who stayed zealous and on fire for God until their old age and death. Not many. Not many. You know why? Little dead flies in the drugstore. A little dead fly. I'm thinking right now of a preacher. I had him preach for me in Texas. I guess the funniest man I ever heard in my life. I guess if I ever heard anybody funny, it was this guy. He could make a crowd laugh like nobody else could. He came to our church, fundamentalist. Used to pastor a big church on the East Coast. Red Hot Fundamentalist. Used to pastor up in Canada. I preached in the church he used to pastor up in Canada. A great church. And a great defender of the faith. What happened? He had two boys. His boys grew up. They got college age. He didn't want his boys to go to some red hot fundamental college. He didn't want his boys to suffer like he suffered. And I'll be honest with you. I guess one of the hardest things in the world for a preacher to do is to watch his son suffer. Sometimes you want to say to your son, "Be a pussyfooter, be a liberal," because of the hurt. And this guy, his son, got up in college age, and his son's dead. And this preacher decided to send his son to Beta University. I wouldn't send that schnauzer out of our house to Beta University. Yes, I would too. I mean it. He said, "Don't you ought to criticize Bell University, then don't ever do it." I wouldn't send a poodle dog to a school that calls itself Baptist and has a bunch of half-naked majorettes stripping and showing their panties on a football field at halftime. I wouldn't send a hound dog to a school that calls itself Baptist and allows dancing on its own property. I wouldn't allow it. And recently they had a big, big deal down there because some of the cheerleaders wanted to pose nude for Playboy magazine. And the president of that college said, "You can't do it." And I mean the campus newspaper published by students came out opposing the president. I double dog dare and you little pipsqueaks to start a newspaper at Hiles Anderson College and oppose this man right here. We'll barbecue you for our next commencement banquet. Where'd that garbage start? Started back yonder when they let the students hold hands. Started back yonder when they decided the students could grow their hair over their ears. Yeah. Started back yonder when they said, "Okay, if SMU and Rice University, Rice Institute and Texas A&M, University of Texas, and the University of Arkansas, if their cheerleaders are going to have a little panties showing, then we'll have our Baptist panties showing too." Buddy, there never has been a day since our Lord Jesus was nailed to Calvary. I'll go back farther. There hasn't been a day since the first man was saved when fundamental Bible-believing Christianity was popular. Oh, I forgot to tell you. That preacher whose sons, he decided to send them to Bailey University instead of one of our fundamental schools. Then he changed, began to criticize Bob Jones University and Tennessee Temple, one of the schools. They found him dead in the bathtub one day. Where did it all start? Little dead fly in his drugstore. What is yours tonight? Huh? What is it? Being critical? I don't think Absalom one day said, "I'm going to take over Dad's kingdom." He said, "Dad,
have some one day heard somebody criticize his dad, and he said, well, look, my dad's a good man. He's just getting old. Check the Bible. That's what he said. Dad's getting old. His mind's not as sharp as it used to be. Dad's a good man. Don't criticize Dad. His mind's just not as sharp as it used to be. That's all. Somebody a little sharper needs to have his job. Dad's old enough to retire anyway. Little dead fly in the drugstore. And that day when David, with a broken heart, left Jerusalem, went down to Mahanaim, looked back and saw the dust of battle rising, realizing his own son was fighting against his own army. And he sees the loyal messenger, Hushai, coming out with a message, and David said, is the young man saved? And Hushai says, the son is dead. And David runs up the stairs and begins to weep, and he says, oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Just going to carry them through. Servants of God, full-time workers, be careful. Don't let the little fly of jealousy creep in. Don't let the little fly of pride creep in. Don't let the little fly of anger creep in. Don't let the little fly of selfishness creep in. Don't let the little fly of lust creep in. School teachers, Sunday school teachers, Christian school workers, college administrators, high school, junior high, grade school administrators, deacons, choir members, anybody in place of responsibility who works in a drugstore where the cure is made or prescribed, be careful. That little fly of hatred, get it out. Little fly of discontent, get it out. Little fly of disloyalty, get it out. Little fly of hatred, little fly of jealousy, little fly of greed, little fly of laziness, little fly of pride. Get it out! Get it out, get it out, get it out, get it out. It won't always be a little fly. And that fly will be squashed against the windowpane and forgotten. But the damage that little fly caused in your life, as the germ that it laid in your drugstore, got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Churches are not split in a moment. Churches don't go bad in a moment. Schools don't go bad in a moment. It's a gradual thing. It's a gradual thing. Dr. Evans will tell you this, I walk guard over Howells Edison College like a sentry at night. Slightest little thing I see, I jump at it as fast as I can. He does the same thing. Now, you do that in your own life. Do it in your own life. What is your dead fly? What are you thinking about right now? Huh? Selfishness? Hurt feelings? Bad spirit? I get tired of hearing people say, I don't like so-and-so. I get tired of hearing that. That's a sin. She's just not my type. Well, you change your typer. I get tired of that kind of stuff. And if you believe it, no need to pop off about it. That's silly. Oh, you say, well, how? Huh? You know, okay, you're a drugstore. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'll help us to inspect the apothecary for those dead flies or those deadly flies that could cause us someday major tragedy. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I want you to draw a ring around yourself for a minute and I want to ask you a question. What is the dead fly in your drugstore? Huh? What is the dead fly in your drugstore? Hatred? What is it? Laziness? What is it? Being critical? What is the dead fly?